This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time today. Whatever it means for you in your club, we'll talk about that later.
Welcome back to another episode of We'll Talk About That Later, a football podcast mostly about opinions that aren't really that serious. Follow us on IG and Twitter at WTATL Official. Subscribe to us on whatever platform you're listening to right now so you never miss a new drop. This is episode
138.
Oi, oi.
Boom. On it every week.
You're enjoying that a bit too much.
So I can't wait to say the number.
I literally am sitting there like, oh my God, I can't wait. Yeah.
How are you guys? Full compliment back.
Welcome back, Abdi.
Yeah, oh, thanks,
man. Don't be shy, man. Speak up.
No, thanks. I appreciate it.
From your
but that energy
leave.
Wasn't there last week when you were like, oh, Abdi, you missed too many episodes now. And when I listen to it, I'm like, why? I'm just like, all I give is positive energy.
Listen. You see, listen.
I'll break your fingers.
No, welcome back.
Thank you.
Obviously, you had to hold it because a couple of voice notes recently, my name's just been dropped in there a couple of times. So I thought, you know what, let me just get him back.
Yeah, you're right. I listened to, actually, when the voice note was playing, I was just like, I've got to make a change in my life. I can't be like this. I can't be Mr. Crud every single week in it.
But yeah, there was also like someone messaged me and said, how can you talk all that crud about United and then Sancho scores a banging goal and you don't even mention it in your top goals of the week?
Interesting.
Listen, I mean, there's ability and then there's poor defending in it. So I don't want to send more shots to someone, you know. And in the day, like, you know, certain men are getting sent, certain men are watching the ball go into the bottom corner. But yeah, and in the day, also, shut your mouth, man. Who's this guy? Oh, you don't want to talk about Sancho? Yeah, you talk about Sancho on your own podcast, bro. It's my voice and my life.
Wow. Okay. So with that,
thanks for listening to whoever that was.
So with that, let's get straight into
Before
it.
Before we do, though, all of our teams have won this week. So
that's true. It's a good point. The first time this season where we're all sitting here off the back of a W.
Yeah.
Whilst I'm happy, you guys are happy. I'd have preferred you both your teams to lose. Whilst I'm happy, you guys are happy.
I can't lie. I preferred you last season when you was losing every week.
Yeah, me too. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, we weren't losing every week last season. It was the season before that. But yeah, fair.
Right, it's a bit of an exaggeration. Yeah. Next time, just roll with it.
Okay, cool. Well, this year it's pretty much you, innit?
Yeah. We've lost one game before. Well,
it was a rare win this week, innit? So, yeah, at the end of the day, you never know. The tables can turn in it quickly, and it seems to be happening.
That's right, the tables can turn.
I can't imagine us losing the game for the rest of my life, honestly.
Oh, my
the rest
goodness.
Of your life.
Yeah. Rest of your life, yeah?
I hope I don't die tomorrow. No,
just the thing is that he's. I know he's not being serious, but he's being semi-serious.
Yeah, semi-serious.
There's a part of him.
How many teams do you know won 4 out of 4? In the whole world? Do you know?
Bro, I don't study.
Name me one,
I don't.
Apart from Arsenal. I won 4 out of 4.
Tell me.
It's about this season, isn't it?
There you go. That's what I'm saying.
Enjoy it, man.
He's the best team in the world.
To be fair, in Spain, they've only played 3 games so far.
Hey, 3 ain't 4, isn't it? 9 points, 8, 12 points, isn't it? So, and yeah, not everyone could be top of the league, innit? So, all right, cool. All right. That way, we want to start. Where do you want to start?
I don't know. Let's start with Spurs because Spurs.
Of all the teams to start.
No, just because I just want to say that since this podcast, apart from the Chelsea game, Spurs have always been last. It's either Spurs or Liverpool. So.
Because Spurs only play at 4:30 on a Sunday.
Liverpool went first last week, so I thought it would be fair if Spurs went first this week.
Yeah.
You got 25 seconds.
25 seconds to go, yeah.
No, there's still some stuff to talk about.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about from that game. I thought
some overreactions.
Yes, some overreactions. I thought it was a decent game. For the neutral, I think.
Can I just count it up?
By good, you mean awful.
Yeah, I just want to count it out as a neutral who watched that game. Yeah. I don't think I can get along with the good game.
No, listen.
Are you actually a neutral though?
Oh,
what? No, honestly, are you a neutral? Do you want Tottenham to lose, or do you want, or did you not care about that result?
You ask him. Are you asking me that in seriousness?
Do you not see Tottenham as a rival?
Any game that I watch that involves one of the big six teams, I want them to lose.
Oh, so why did you say as a neutral then? You're not a neutral then.
But he doesn't support Spurs or
Bro, do you Forest. Understand when you say as a neutral, in neutral football,
means,
what that means?
Yeah, neutral means you don't care about the result. No,
in this context, what I think in this context, neutral means you're watching the game, but you don't support either team. You're just a neutral.
That's wrong, but I get what you mean. Though.
Anyway, let me just talk about the game from a Spurs perspective.
Yeah.
Not very good, once again. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sound like a broken record here, but I'm just not happy with their performances. I'm not happy with the style of play. The first half, we were awful. I know Kane scored the goal, but I'm watching us at the minute and we just cannot get any ounce of control in the game. And I know people are saying, you know, it's a stylistic thing. You can have all the possession in the world and it doesn't mean you're going to win games. But I feel you can still have less possession and have control. And I feel like we're not showing that at the moment. Mm. I think defensively, like to have 18 shots, although Nottingham Forest didn't, let's be honest, create too many big chances. Mm. That for me is not positive. A team like Nottingham Forest, newly promoted, we should be having more control of the game and looking like the much better side. Let's be honest, we're a better team than them. And at the minute, we don't look like we're trying to impose ourselves, or we don't look like a team that's wanting to put a statement out and say, we're going to challenge the Chelseas and Arsenals. Because at the minute, we look very poor. Very poor.
When it comes to Tottenham, I think they're really quick to just sit back.
You got the goal early and then you just start sitting back. I just think it's very negative. But people are now saying that this is how Conte plays. But I don't remember. I mean,
when he was at Chelsea, they played decent football.
Yeah, they did.
And I'm not buying that. I don't know.
Even at Inter, they played decent football.
Yeah, Inter, they were a good side. And there's this whole thing of, oh, you know, Conte doesn't play with an attacking midfielder and all of this stuff. Okay, fair enough. But he had some creativity, though. Let's be right. Okay. But look, it's one of these games where it's like, we're not playing well, but you have to be happy with the win.
Yeah, of course. Especially at this stage of the season, I just think the win comes first. The performances will come,
or not.
But as a neutral, Abdi, if I have your permission to thank you. As a neutral, I do think watching that game that I just don't understand why. And you said it against a newly promoted team, and that's not taking anything away from Forest because I actually thought they were good.
No, they were really good. Honestly, we were lucky we didn't get punished.
It just surprises me that there's... Yeah, of course. But it just surprises me that when you're a team of Spurs' ilk, when you're coming up against a Forest, a Bournemouth, you're just not dominating the ball. And that's surprising to me.
And I feel like that's been a recurring theme under Conte, to be honest. We just can't dominate the ball.
Why not though? Because you have the ability to do so.
We don't have the players. I disagree.
No, you have the ability to dominate the ball and create chances against
Forest. Is it that you don't have the midfield?
I don't think we have the best midfield in the world. But again, I do want to give Conte a bit of stick here because as much as I love him, I do think this sort of unwillingness to make changes quicker in games is starting to really grate on me. I don't get why Bissouma can't start. I think Bentancourt, I have to be honest, you're going to love it, Abdi. I think he's not had a great start to the season. He's been very sloppy. I thought Højbjerg was in the first half, but he improved. He made a couple of decent passes. But I don't get why Bissouma can't get more game time. I thought we actually looked better when subs came on. I don't know if maybe we're just a bit sluggish at the moment. I don't want to get carried away. Son doesn't look the player. I don't know what it is with him at the minute. But again, you look at players like Salah, for example. He doesn't look quite at it. Are people going to say he's finished and all this stuff?
No, to be honest, I disagree with that. Salah's had a good start to the season. I know he didn't score in the 9-0. And we'll get on to that. But he's had a decent start to the season. Son's actually been stinking it out, though.
He has been stinking it out.
Salah scored 3 goals, hasn't he?
Got a couple of assists. Got a goal and assist against Fulham.
And he was good in the Community Shield as well.
Good in the Community Shield.
Okay, maybe Salah's a bad example.
Scored against United.
But yeah, Son's scrappy just, one, but I don't know. He's not having a good start. I don't know if teams have maybe thought, okay, this is the Golden Boot winner. They're sticking loads of players on him, and now Kane's sort of chipping in. I don't know. But
do you know what? It's not. I don't even think it's that, because again, watching that Spurs Forest game, it wasn't about a lack of space or a lack of the ball coming into him. He just looks void of confidence, which is weird.
Go right for him,
considering he's off the back of his first Golden Boot ever in the league.
I wonder if it's maybe Richarlison's come in and he's just not used to having some, like, looking over his shoulder. I don't know if it's that.
Or maybe it's over him, he's washed now.
Could be.
No, do you know what? I truly don't think he's washed, but I think.
Someone's got to do.
No, there's half a part of you.
There's a hope.
There's a part of you. No, but the thing is now is that now we can kind of, we all get why that Richarlison signing was made. Obviously, maybe you were questioning it quite heavily.
I love him,
I've seen a lot of Spurs fans questioning that when it happened. I've seen some obviously celebrate it and say this is a good signing. Yeah, but it means now, midweek, I think you've got West Ham tomorrow, right?
West Ham today, tomorrow.
If you're listening to this on Wednesday. It's the perfect opportunity actually to say to Son, look, you're coming out for this one, and Richarlison's coming in.
Unfortunately, because Paul O'Keefe, he kind of leaks our lineups, and he's usually quite reliable. He ain't going to start, which is annoying. But look, all in all, as I say,
he leaked a game at the start that's happening. So, in two days.
He predicts lineups basically, and he's always pretty.
Oh, so he's just guessing.
Like 2 days before,
and it's not hard to guess Conte's lineup. He's just going to pick the same team.
Did he announce it today?
Yeah, today. Yeah.
Is Romero back?
Romero, yeah, and thankfully we've made his signing permanent now, 5-year deal, which 50 I'm M's. Very happy about. He will be back.
You can never chat about Ben White.
To be fair, I'm not going to lie. Sanchez ain't put a foot wrong. I'm not going to lie. I have to give him his props.
The season is young.
Yeah, exactly.
But the season is young.
He's played 2 games. So
what I will say, though, obviously, look, we won 2-0. Second half, Richarlison made an impact yet again. I thought he was really good. Lovely ball in to Kane.
That was a great assist.
Sessegnon should have bloody crossed it to Kane in the first place.
I don't know what Sessegnon was doing.
What was he doing? Like, genuinely,
No.
The
worst.
Did he think he was going to shoot at one point?
The dumbest thing that happened in that game was my man who handballed it. Steve Cook.
Why was that not a red
what
card?
What on earth was he doing? And that's a definite red card as well.
But is it a double jeopardy?
Yeah, I guess so. I think he should have got sent off for stupidity.
No, genuinely, I don't know what he was doing.
He was
yellow card
like
for the handball and yellow card for stupidity.
Yeah, exactly, for being an idiot.
Double yellow card.
But like, I don't know what. And also, the wildest thing is that he's only 30 years old. You know,
I thought
Steve Cook was 38.
He looks like he's been through it.
It's like, you know how Chiellini's been 36 for 10 years? This guy, I thought he was 30. I was like, oh, this is why he left Bournemouth. He's just old. No, he's 30 years old. He's like a year older than Harry Kane, bro. So, and he looks like his dad, bro. But yeah, when the ball came in, was it from Perisic?
Yeah,
dangerous ball. And Kane was just going to head it in. I get, like, obviously it's the double jeopardy thing, but he tried to pretend like he got pushed in the air and then, oh, that somehow propelled his hand.
But the maddest thing is that I don't even think Kane's reaching that.
No, exactly.
He's not.
Yeah, it's just is so stupid.
But onto
the good save
from Henderson. I thought he was going to save that as well.
He went a bit like the celebrations were.
The hat.
He was a bit mad. Like, you've got to remember, you're still 1-0 down at this point.
I thought that was.
I get you happy you saved the pen. That's two penalties you saved now this season.
Mm-hmm.
But Tanya, what, 10 points from 12? Maybe you're not happy with the performances, but are you happy with the points tally?
No. Absolutely. I think at this stage, you can't complain too much if you're getting points on the board. You have to look at the teams we've played. I actually think we've played decent-ish teams. I think Chelsea, we've played in that time. Obviously, Southampton, not really.
Forest, Southampton, Wolves.
So you have to say, yeah, Forest, Wolves, they're tricky-ish teams and we've got points. But I just, for me, I watch us and I'm like, it's a matter of time. We're going to get thrashed. That's how I feel as a Spurs fan. It's
that's the thing. The thing is, yeah, it's true. Like, she's got every right to act, because people might say you're being negative.
About,
but she's got every right to be, because the performances will catch up to the results. They should have got packed in by Chelsea. Like, that's ridiculous, the fact that they got a point.
They're lucky, let's be honest.
They got very lucky to get a point. And against Wolves as well, the first half, horrible. Southampton was a good performance. And for the most part, obviously, you weren't in control for this game and you generally play quite poorly, but you didn't look like you were going to concede at any point in this game.
You are looking
defensively secure. But like I said, the performances are going to, the results are going to catch up. You know, you can't get away with
playing
that
badly. I just don't like the football as well. Like, I'm going to be honest, like, I don't like it. It's boring. It's so frustrating watching my team play a game of football and the other team is just having the ball for like 80 minutes. It's not nice to watch.
Yeah, when you're.
But
when
do
you're...
I, as a fan, have to accept that's what comes with Conte and that's what comes with these group of players?
Again,
maybe I have to accept it.
No, I don't remember Conte being like this at Chelsea. I get that Conte's always played a defensive-minded game, but with Chelsea, that Chelsea team, as it pains me to say, was quite exciting.
The whole point of wing backs isn't for, like, people think wing backs makes you more defensive. Like, if it's a Mourinho playing a back five, then that's a defensive team, isn't
it? Exactly.
But the whole point of wing backs is to give them the freedom to attack.
Yeah, but Royal, can you do that? I'm telling you, when my man Spence came on, please, for the love of God, Conte, start him. Because he showed pace and he showed directness. Okay, he was on for literally 3 minutes. And everyone's replaying this little clip of him running and Richarlison should have passed it to him properly for him to go through. Yeah, he's quick. I was like, oh my God, something. Raul does not give me that. Raul gives me nothing. There's just nothing on that right-hand side. Perisic, I'm not going to lie, very suspect defensively.
Can I ask you a question?
He worried me a little bit.
Do you think that, okay, Spence for 3 minutes impressed you, but do you not think that the players, like the wing-backs carrying this out, are carrying what Conte wants out? For example, Conte might say to Royale, like, Perisic is our attacking winger. Like, you sit back a little bit. You occupy the space. If he's back, then you can occupy that space, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know, because your whole team doesn't seem like very attacking-minded.
No, maybe you're right.
It's the outlets that I see are Kulusevski and Son, who attack any free space, like Kulusevski for the first goal, coming inside and bringing players along, and then he plays it out to Kane. Those are the outlets that I see from your team. I don't necessarily see the wing-backs as...
But that's outlets. What worries me, because in a Conte system, look at the wing-backs he had at Inter, and this is why I just think deep down he can't be happy with what we've got.
One of the wing-backs he had at Inter was Perisic.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but, you know, he also had, like, your Hakimi.
Yeah.
I would love a player like that, but obviously, look.
You should get some of his other ones, like Kolarov and Ashley Young.
Well, we're in for Dan James. That's bloody happening.
So wait, is he going to play at right wing-back?
I don't know.
Or just be that cover for Kulusevski, because they've got cover for Son and Richarlison,
we've
but
lost
no
Bergwijn
cover.
And Gil, so we need another attacker.
He'll play right.
Did he go to on loan?
Valencia.
On loan. Or again. Is he permanently back?
No, it's on loan.
Okay. Again.
Yeah.
Didn't he play at Valencia just now?
Did
he come back from
Valencia?
He went to Villa.
Oh, yeah. I think Dan James will probably play right back. And by that, I mean,
mate,
you've got a right
if
back.
If this club get Dan James, I swear to you guys, you can film it. I'll bring my Spurs shirt to this podcast. You can film it. I'm burning it. Genuinely, if we sign Dan James, I'm burning my
To any firefighters out there, we're definitely not doing it.
Oh, God.
Wait. Is it permanent?
What's that?
Dan James.
It's just rumours.
Rumours are we want him on loan, yeah.
Oh.
But the thing is, yeah, like with I said it before, like we know Conte's taste in players is generally quite bad.
Like, really?
But
Dan James.
So I think I'm just googling it right now to see if Dan James is actually.
But anyway, look, I think
I just wanted to bring up the overreaction that people had to Richarlison.
It is a bit of an overreaction, I'll be honest. I've seen people on TalkSport.
I'll be honest.
I
don't think he was disrespectful enough.
Disrespectful? What are you on about?
People saying it's not classy, that it's not that he's not Thierry Henry to do it. To be honest, I can't even remember the last time.
Yeah, back your boy, Junior. Come on.
Thierry. Wait, whoa.
Charles, relax. He's Brazilian.
Relax. I don't remember Thierry Henry ever doing that, but I don't think there's any problem with doing that. Bro, like, football is expression. If he felt to do that, and then if Nico Williams or whoever it was felt to clatter him,
mate,
they're both in their right minds to do so.
That, to me, was a red card, mate.
Brendan Johnson.
Yeah, whoever, like...
Wasn't a red, but it was a strong challenge.
Yeah,
but you got to remember, me personally, I wasn't a fan of what Richarlison did.
I know, you hate it, don't you?
Mark's part of the purity of the game.
No. I think outlets like TalkSport and people like that have gone too far.
Like, oh, I wouldn't accept
Yeah, that's
that.
What I mean. I think that they've... So, Steve Cooper, TalkSport, all of these, they've gone way too far. But me personally, if I'm on that pitch and... I know exactly the reason Richarlison's doing that is, let's be honest, he's taking the piss.
Yeah.
I'm slumping you as well. I'm going to have to be honest with you because it's going to really irk me, and he's doing it.
I remember Nani did that.
Doing it for a reason.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
But that's the point. Okay, so you're free to feel that way. Richarlison, it is free to...
I haven't got a problem with anything that happened in that situation.
No, neither...
Yeah, that's what I'm trying... I loved all of it. That's
if
what I'm trying to say.
That's one of my players, take the piss.
Yeah.
Break his soul. Make sure they don't want to come back to the Premier League.
I would be
make them question whether they're good enough for the Premier League.
It would be worse if we was 2-0 down.
Or a draw.
And playing terribly. Mm. I'd be like, what are you doing?
Or if it's like 0-0 or something.
No, but that's the point. He wouldn't have done it at 2-0 down.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the thing, the point people are making is that essentially it was, yeah, he was just doing it literally for one reason and one reason only. So, like I said, I got no issue with that. No issue either with the tackle afterwards.
Yeah.
Little bit of an issue with the overreaction outside of that.
These pundits, it was Jermaine Pennant who was going back.
Yeah.
But like, honestly, what do they want football to be? Like, just jumping up and down like fairies and happy, let's play hopscotch after the game and clap hands and kiss and hug. Like, mate, no,
they would have a problem with that
because
you can't celebrate as well.
You're not.
So.
It's just nonsense.
I do think, obviously, there's well. I think
and stop
there is
telling
a
people how to act, man. What I like about Richarlison, I don't like. Honestly, I don't like Richarlison. Cry more, bro. On Twitter, he's like, he's unapologetic. He's like, I'll do it more, bro.
I like that. I do like that. I don't like him.
I don't like him.
I like that
he plays for Tottenham.
Well, the thing is with Richarlison, you love him if he's playing for you. Hate him if he's not.
Do it more, bro. Like, make
sure. You wait until that North London derby at the Emirates starts.
Yeah,
you want him to do it more,
I'll be booing him until there's blood coming out of my eyes, innit? But you're
happy for him to do it, yeah?
But I haven't got a problem with any of that stuff, man. Like, do you remember, like, Mark, you know, if we put it into context between me and you, yeah, when I'm going at you in the group and then you come back at me and Junior's like, oh, I don't like ricochets, I'm like, do it more, do it to me more, I want it. I want the hate.
I'll be honest with you, it's a good point, but I'm struggling to understand the...
It's the same.
And also, like, what did I have to do with it?
The content, like, that.
Like, you sometimes hesitate to go back at me because you don't want to, like, be as shameless as I am, yeah? So, but the reason I say I want it is because football is meant to be like, the tribalism is meant to be there. Hatred.
You know what? I actually disagree with that.
Football is
not a tribalism first. Football, for me, is football first.
Can I just say, you're the one... who literally, all three of us said that we had like an issue against John Stones and Harry Maguire kissing and hugging after the Manchester derby.
True.
And you were like,
No, I don't see
a problem with that. They're friends, blah, 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 blah.
Again, that's a bad example you're doing to counter my point. I had no problem with the way they were acting. Again, it's sort of similar to what I was saying just a minute ago, is I had no problem with that situation as well.
You just said football tribalism. They have to be going at each other.
No, I didn't say they have to. I said... I'm okay with you if you want to do that. If you want to hug after the game, it doesn't mean you're not committed. After a game finishes and there's two players hugging, you have a problem with it.
So would you want an Arsenal player and a Spurs player hugging?
They can lips on the pitch for like it.
Rob, are you crazy?
I don't care.
That's
can everyone just...
Whoa.
The thing is, what does it matter? And
It goes to the point.
No, you're crazy. Obviously, I'm not saying bloody hell do a sex tape on the pitch. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is it goes to the point that what does this stuff in the grand scheme of things doesn't really matter.
It does matter.
It's just an overreaction. Like, no, I mean, these whole, like, Richarlison doing keepy up here and Arsenal celebrating, it's not going to affect the result, is it?
No.
So why is everyone caring so much? They're just finding things to do.
The Richarlison one, I think, is a bit different, but you brought it into football tribalism, or, like, we could take it one
poor example, let's move on.
Fine. Okay. So, Tanya... West Ham next. Who else have you got at the weekend?
Well, for West Ham, I think what will be interesting is Bentancur. I think he suffered a head injury, so I think Basuma's going to come in.
Interesting.
Excited for that.
We all know. Listen, we all know you love West Ham. But what would a win mean to you?
Oh, it would mean absolutely everything.
Genuinely. What? How much would a loss hurt? Or?
Oh, I'd be fuming, especially how poor West Ham have been.
Well, they beat Villa.
Hey, they scored their first goal in four games.
Between now and tomorrow, I'm going to be learning Lucas Paqueta songs.
He can't play, right?
He signed already. Why would he not be playing?
Where would you?
No, I think he'll play. I think he'll make his debut. They got Chelsea on the weekend. West Ham.
I think he can play. I just don't think
he probably
they're
going to
rub
probably
that
won't
in
start,
our face. Oh my goodness!
Why are they going to rub that in your face?
Because I think we were kind of linked.
He's better
with
than
him.
any player.
He's a player in a position we need. But no, I absolutely want to thrash West Ham in their own gaff as well, mate. Let's score three goals.
I don't think so.
Huh? You don't think so?
Hey, they got
that means it's their cup league final at the end of the league. Like, oh yeah, Spurs are shit. Yeah, you don't win anything. So, you know, they're going to be up
Why
for it.
Why does that sound familiar? It sounds like every time you come to the Emirates.
Oh, yeah.
It's your cup final.
We need to turn up in that, and I need Son to turn up if he's starting.
Okay. Realistically.
And better performance.
Realistically, let's say it's not the result you wanted. What does that mean?
If we lose that game,
lose or draw? Because you said you said we better be winning that game. So I assume that you won't be happy with a draw.
If we lose or draw, that will be the start of the poor performances catching up with us, and it will be the start of us potentially going.
You think so?
Yeah.
Who have you got after?
Well, we've got
at the weekend.
God, have we got?
Because if you got like Fulham, then I think we might
have Fulham, and then I think
keep talking. I'll check.
Yeah, you check. But yeah, I genuinely
I'm not
think
checking now.
Things could
to
go downhill from there.
Don't disrespect.
Are you not checking?
No, I'm checking. You've got Fulham, 3 o'clock.
Oh.
At home.
So that's which I think that'll be a tough game as well.
So long as Mitrovic and Romero get into a fight, that's all that matters, isn't it?
Romero's got back, so he'll deal with it.
That's all that matters, isn't it? Hey, try it with Mitrovic. He might lose his eye, bruv. Mitrovic would actually eat his eye on the pitch.
All right.
We just need to improve.
Okay.
That's all I can say.
Next game. Should we talk about the 9-0? Well overdue, Mark.
Well overdue.
I was actually like, I was on the way to the Emirates, innit? And I thought I was running late, so I got Uber. And then when the driver, he's a Liverpool fan, and then he started talking about Liverpool, and I was like, oh, it's 3-0. He goes, nope, it's 4-0. And I went, oh, 4-0. No, it's 5-0.
That's what our group was.
Even you, yeah, you put it in the group, 8-0. 2 seconds out of that, it's 9-0.
No, it's actually 9-0. That was bullying, bro.
That was bullying. I actually genuinely felt sorry for Bournemouth in the end.
No, you didn't. Stop it.
You loved it.
Don't lie, Mark.
I loved it.
There's nothing better than when your team scores pollen.
Who was on the score sheet again? Gosh.
Everyone.
apart from Salah.
Diaz scored twice. Firmino scored twice.
Yeah.
Trent, Carvalho. And our own goal, Meppen.
Yeah, right. You studied that one, boy.
That Harvey Elliott goal was nice.
The Trent goal was mad as well.
Trent goal was disgusting.
That was just perfect.
It's exactly what we needed. You know what I was saying last week? I think you listened to last week's episode when I was saying about using the loss as a catalyst.
Yeah.
It looks like, and I know it was only Bournemouth, and I did say that was the perfect game to kind of bounce back, to use as a bounce back as well. But if we've been able to use the horrible start to the season as a catalyst for what's to come, then.
But that's the thing with Liverpool. I feel like when you go through a bad period, the next team you face, it's like you take it out. Literally, catch Liverpool in a bad moment. It's peak for that team. It's long.
Yeah.
Proper rebounding, isn't it?
And basically, you sack Scott Parker.
Got him done. I'll be honest, I feel like that was harsh.
Absolutely. What was it meant to do against 24 million?
24 million.
What's it meant to do against Arsenal,
players?
Man City and Liverpool? Your first four games. And the only other game that you had was Villa and you won.
And he's a good manager. He's done a good job when he was at Fulham. And he's promoted Bournemouth back to the Premier League. Give him a
best
chance.
Player is Kiefer Moore. He's like 50% of Chris Wood. Like, his whole talent, his whole football career is that he's very, very tall. And that's it. So what do you expect him to do? Like, there's certain players here who I don't even think they're real. Like, I think they're just names on the team sheet. What is a Jaden Anthony? I've never heard of him before. I've never even seen what he can do on a football pitch. Some of those players, like, they keep talking about, oh, the new signing called Sensi or whatever his name is. I don't even think he's ever touched the ball since he's come to the Premier League, and he's played 3 games. So it's just like, I feel bad for Scott Parker because he just put in a horrible position. You look at the two other promoted teams, yeah, and they spent potloads.
Yeah, exactly. How's he doing?
I mean, look at Nottingham Forest, yeah. Mm.
Oh, just quickly on Nottingham Forest. I know we brushed over them, yeah. Don't you think their manager, he dresses like a divorced dad?
Don't.
He just, I looked at him, I was like, rah.
What? No, he just looks like he's out on a bender every single night. Like, yeah,
like a divorced dad, didn't it?
What does a divorced dad look like?
I reckon he's knocking him back.
He's wearing
these
weird, he's a bit like chunky on the bottom half, wearing his boot cut.
Why are you checking him out on the bottom half, you weirdo?
Yeah, he looks like, yeah.
Anyway,
he looks like he only sees his children at the weekend.
You are crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, and they play games at the weekend, isn't it? So, like.
Wow.
I feel for Scott Parker, man. I think it's so harsh, these. I don't know what these like lower teams expect. Like, genuinely, what do you want?
I think they're going to have a bit of a challenge, like... Yeah, who's going to want to come in and take that job? When you look at that squad, it's essentially a ticket straight back down to the Championship.
Yeah. Hey, what did I say? Kiefer Moore is 50% of who?
Chris Wood.
So. Who is Chris Wood's old manager?
Sean Dyche. Listen, I think Sean Dyche would be a very brave man to take that job. Very brave man.
Yeah, Sean Dyche forgot about him. He's not got any job.
He was at Reading Festival, wasn't he?
Was he?
Yeah, he was. Martin, he was living his best life.
Bloody hell, he must have lost his voice even more.
Yeah, exactly. What was he singing?
Innit?
You're my wonderful.
Never do that again.
Wow. All right, going back to Liverpool, yeah. So Klopp this week, I think, because obviously you've lost about a billion midfielders, he admitted that you are going to sign a midfielder.
No, he didn't explicitly say we're going to sign one. He said we're going to look for one and we need one.
And your other players, other Van Dijk said it as well, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So, what's that? 2 days left.
Being honest with you, I don't think we'll see someone come in. Liverpool are very particular in when you're making a signing, it has to be the right one. There's never
Kabak, Ben Davis, right?
That's
the example. Yeah, I get you.
No, because you're trying to do something. It's not it. But that those two signings obviously were 6 month kind of stop gaps. Obviously didn't work out. We made a profit on Ben Davies. But Kabak, awful player, I have to be honest. But going back to the midfielder one, obviously there's a plan in place. I feel like, and I've been reading, to sign two centre mids next summer. But we need to bring one of them forward now. It's just the issue is we've left it way too late. Said it weeks ago, last week or week before that, Matías Núñez, that Wolves side would have been ideal. Also said Barella, I don't think that's something that's achievable. That's just a bit of a dream. And then next summer, it looks like we're battling for Bellingham with Madrid. But this summer, we need to bring someone in. It's not helping our case now because Curtis Jones is back in training. Matip's back in training. We're getting a few players back, and now when there's a couple of players coming back, I feel like they're going to kind of come back.
You might not. You might.
Thiago's a couple of weeks away.
You
not
might be
far.
In talks though with a couple of players. You don't know. They might have something.
Clubs are probably constantly in talks with players all the time. I just don't feel like there's a certain strategy in place, and signing someone so late on in this window breaks that whole strategy. So we'll see. It'll be interesting if we do sign one. We definitely need to sign one, but my gut feeling now is that we won't. We'll see. But let's talk about the game.
Are you looking for like a right-sided eight kind of? Or like a left?
Someone ideally could play as an eight, left or right. The thing with our system is that our two eights play very different roles, actually. So the right-sided eight joins in with Trent and Salah. They create triangles on that right-hand side from deep all the way to advanced. The left centre mid eight is usually the one who drops into a pivot with our six, as the rest push forward. So they're very different roles, but we need a player. We need a player who can come in and fill in essentially all of those roles.
But obviously, like, there will be a rotation throughout the season. But I mean, ideally, you're a big fan of, obviously, Thiago and Fabinho are guaranteed starters, right? And you're a huge fan of Harvey Elliott. So would that person be a guaranteed start if they came in? Or would that person be pushing? Do you think that person would be someone you think is going to start?
I think the guaranteed starter will come next summer. Don't know who that will be, but we'll sign someone. Instead I think we'll sign someone big. Yeah, they'll take that right centre mid role.
Instead of Elliot. But you never know what Elliot could do this season. You see what he's on already.
When I said right centre mid, I was actually thinking Hendo, forgetting that Elliot's kind of come in and made that role his own again, as he did start of last season. But we've got to have options. It's all well and good naming me three players who would be the ideal midfield, but we've seen it at the start of this season.
Yeah,
injuries rack up, and you have your ideal midfield, and then all of a sudden it's Henderson and Milner.
Yeah.
So back to the game. So watching that game, obviously, much better performance, looked more like Liverpool. What do you take now onto your next game, which is Newcastle?
Ooh. Oh, we've got a
we've got St James's.
We've got them tomorrow
and, Anfield. And they haven't got any of their good players.
They're missing.
Their four best players: Bruno,
Trippier's out, Trippier, Saint-Maximin,
and who's the other?
Oh, Wilson.
Saint-Maximin is hasn't officially been ruled out, but he was holding his hammy at the end of the game against.
That's a real shame. Wolves. We would have had a better game. It would have been a better game if they were available.
Listen, I'm not complaining.
Yeah, no, you're not going to complain.
I'm not complaining. Neutrals over there. Again, if I can be complaining. But I'm not complaining. But what we need to bring from that 9-0 is goals, first of all, because that's something we were lacking the first couple of games of the season. But outside of that, just being back to ourselves, controlling the game, controlling the ball, attacking with real impetus, as we did throughout against Bournemouth. Didn't go behind for the first time
and
in seven or eight games.
They
absolutely suffocated them. The key for us against Newcastle, actually, thank you, Abdi, get the first goal. This isn't even a...
I said you're welcome.
You're welcome, no problem. This isn't even a dig at Tanya or Spurs, but get the first goal, push for another.
Don't
sit back. Get that first goal. Yeah. But vitally really, important, we get the first
goal. Do you expect Liverpool to ever sit back?
That's another thing, you know. I feel like we're very accepting of the style of football. I don't think Liverpool would employ that style. Arsenal, Man United. Maybe Conte's being smart, because a lot of teams don't play like how we play.
No, but Liverpool always go for the throat. Like,
yeah, go for the jugular. Yeah, absolutely.
And listen, sometimes it doesn't work in our favour. The majority of times it does.
Sometimes it doesn't.
But sometimes it doesn't, and you've got to kind of take those moments and learn from them. But what I want to see against Newcastle is just similar to Bournemouth. It will be a different game. It will be a tougher game, definitely. But we need to kick on. We need to use that momentum.
I think you will now. I think, like you say, this game now is the sliding doors. I think you're going to go on a run now.
All right, so well gone. What was Salah on at the weekend then?
You know what? I don't know if any of you've seen it or watched it. He missed a couple of sitters, in terms of his just him on the pitch, he didn't actually have a bad game. It was the sitters. Yeah, listen.
You
would put your house on Salah bagging either one of those. The
on
one that came across.
Yeah,
I'd have been on the street.
You would have been on the street. Yeah. You would have been on the streets.
And then the second one in the second half.
The second one, a great ball from Fabinho. I'm overwhelmed by the fact we've won a game, man.
But
listen. Actually, this is a point I wanted to make, because I was thinking about this yesterday night. And listen, it's not necessarily a bad thing that we're sticking nine in and none of them come from Salah. People are kind of spinning it as a negative, but actually, I'm looking at that as a positive.
Because they all had Salah in their FPL team, bro.
So do I, bro. He was my captain. I'm sitting there after the seventh, I've gone in, I'm thinking, what?
Mark, I see what you're doing. It's a good thing that we're playing this bad. Son's not performing, but we're winning. I like that.
Well done, man.
No, you should be concerned.
That
you
is
should
a
be...
great way yeah, of exactly, looking yeah, at exactly. it.
You man, it's gone nine.
We are playing dead. We got 10 points out of 12. Can I get an amen?
No. And also,
I might throw up a little bit.
Salah has actually scored and played well.
Listen,
this season.
Son's getting a hat trick next game. What are you telling me? Huh?
So he's going to score when
we West Ham. Why not?
So tomorrow night, I want
West
you in
Ham
that chat.
I'm going to get a hat-trick from Son, you know. 3-0 West Ham, a hat-trick on my
goal. No, listen, he'll score, innit? He'll score. Okay, he'll score.
No, you got to back your boy.
Yeah, backing him.
But my general point
always
is that...
at that stadium, though.
if we weren't playing tomorrow, that is the game I'd be watching.
Oh, God.
But yeah, listen, like I said, it's not a bad thing to score 9 goals. Not a single goal came from Salah, not even an assist. If he wants to save him
no
up for,
Nunes, no
for a 0-0 when we need a goal in the 89th minute,
I think that's perfect. The difference, you know, because like with Liverpool, he can say like, we had like 6 different goal scorers.
Okay, Julian,
with Spurs, it's just Harry Kane.
No, not necessarily.
Yeah, yes, necessarily.
Listen,
you could have just said necessarily. You didn't.
Yeah, I know.
There's more games to come, but that was the point he was making, that other players are scoring.
Is he back? Nunes now.
Tomorrow's the last one of his ban.
Oh, his ban's tomorrow as well.
And then we've got Everton away, 12:30 kickoff on Saturday. So I don't think he'll start that, but he will be back for that at Goodison. Yeah, I don't think he'll start that because it's just too.
Goodison.
It's going
to
be.
Let him get into fight with Mina.
But that's with Mina. With me,
Uruguay. Yeah, just rough, rolling around on the ground, punching each other.
But we're, we're looking at, in terms of injuries now, it started to get a little bit more positive. So obviously Matip back in training yesterday along with Curtis Jones.
What about Konate? Konate
is probably another couple of weeks. Thiago, couple of weeks. Nunes obviously just got one more game and he's back. Jota's not too far, two or three weeks. So in about a month's time, hopefully, you should stop looking at our bench and asking me who's every single player on the bench. That's the hope. Right. It looks like we've got some players coming back. Carvalho's got a good, he's looking really good, man. Yeah. Really good. Him and Harvey Elliott. Just,
what is he like? Is he a winger, midfielder? 10?
He's been playing centre mid in our eight role when he comes on for us. So he replaced Elliott at half-time against Bournemouth because Elliott had a small niggle. Played in that centre mid role and mainly just played left wing a couple of times in pre-season.
Interesting, he brought him on ahead of Milner even though he's what, 19 and
we were 5-0.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, I forgot about that.
It's more important to get Carvalho 45 minutes of Prem experience than it is just bring Milner on for whatever.
Alright, moving on to the Emirates and Arsenal played Fulham. And Tanya, what's wrong, Tanya?
What are you head about?
Because I hate when you two are happy. I'm so evil.
That's the worst thing anyone's ever said about me.
Oh. I don't like it. I miss the days you guys argue with each other about Aubameyang.
Yeah, you two used to actually be so close to blows. You
honestly,
know
that. I miss that. Now every week.
Never do that.
Those days are long gone, bro.
We're doing it every week.
Hey, what I'm saying,
me and Tanya used to break up scraps.
Genuinely.
Listen, it's Christy at the top, isn't it?
I bet it is.
Just enjoy it. And then, listen, you just give it. You got to give it when you can give it. I said it last week.
Congratulations, because you know you was begging for it on the group chat. So congrats.
Oh, yeah, you know. Yeah.
You was almost in tears. You might have actually been in tears.
You're not haters, and that's fine.
We're not haters.
It's fine.
No, no. Richard Keys is the real hater.
Yeah.
But
who in their life has ever stopped and thought, I wonder what Richard Keys thinks? I don't even think Richard Keys' family care about where he's from. And the way he talks here is so much arrogance, like his opinion holds any weight, bro. The only thing that holds weight is his waistline, bro.
Wow.
I can't even say that myself, innit? But still, like, just the way that he speaks here is he speaks with a tinge. Like, he was talking down to Nigel de Jong, bro. I'm like, and the way he speaks.
And the thing is, he asked Nigel de Jong, and Nigel de Jong gave him a counterpoint.
He's like,
and
then, Nigel.
And he was like, Nigel, Fulham, it's Fulham. Nigel, it's Fulham. Oh, Nigel's just saying, relax.
It's just
bro,
that
let
old school,
celebrate.
Like, it's so like, but let's give people some context.
He was complaining about the fact that there was over celebration, apparently. But if you watch it, watch when the final whistle goes, there's nothing out of the ordinary.
Players just hugged
Gabriel
each other.
Dropped to his knees and thank God, that's it. And then the players came over and hugged him.
Arteta hugged Odegaard. Odegaard and picked him up. That was
it. No, Odegaard picked up Arteta, which is kind of demasculating to the manager. he's like 15 years younger than you, bro. He can't lift you like. But anyway, on the game, aside from what this irrelevant fool thinks in it. So, first of all, and just quickly on that point, I don't think like I said with Richarlison, we didn't celebrate enough.
Yeah.
So after we win the next game, there has to be confetti.
Listen.
They need to put a big bouncy castle so all the fans can jump up and down in the middle of the pitch.
Listen,
yeah.
I am here
Open
for
top
it.
Bus parade, do it, bro.
For us, how many other games we win for the rest of the season, I want us to just celebrate the hell out of every single one.
Who's watching football and says, that person is too happy?
If we draw Shrewsbury and we beat them 2-1 on a scrappy one, bro. I want us to over-celebrate
do
that.
Do it, man.
I want us
Everyone get your things out on the pitch, bro. Do it, bro.
I just want us to be that team. I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's just the people who, you know, you don't have anything to say when you're saying your biggest criticism of the team is you're celebrating too much. It's just like, you know, your analysis is poor. But on the game, I honestly thought, obviously we did go behind, and it's the first time we went behind this season, but Fulham didn't do anything else other than that.
At all.
Nothing.
It was such a Marco Silva performance.
We gifted them a goal. In the first half, I did think we were dominant, but we weren't good in the final third. I thought our wingers they had a lot of the ball, but in the final third is where we kept on breaking down for them. Martinelli, he was getting to the byline quite a lot, and he loves doing that. That's his tendency. But his final ball was poor, and his corners were even worse, bro. I think I was losing my mind. Every corner was going straight into Leno's hands.
Oh, it was him that was doing those corners.
He was crossing it straight into Leno's hands, and I swear everyone in my section was just going mad.
Yeah, we all were. Yeah.
But the thing is, what I liked about the team is at no point really. I don't know why. Maybe it's just the confidence I have nowadays. You know, when you have Gabriel Jesus and Lacazette, you feel a lot more confident just naturally. But with the team, I think that we're functioning a lot more, and I like a lot of these players. I never at one point thought we weren't going to win. Like, even when we went behind as well. You see, and the atmosphere is in the ground. You know what it's like, Junior. It's mad, isn't it?
It's so
electric
different.
In there
it's
now.
So
it's just
different.
A completely different atmosphere as well. And I
felt... Do you know there was the Arsenal... The last time Arsenal won from going behind in the second half and coming back to win...
2013.
Oh,
imagine God, that.
That's
like,
terrible.
And especially under Arteta. Like, when we're not winning at halftime, we rarely win.
Yeah.
And so, like, I was a bit... that's the only thing I was concerned about it. We I think we did it once last season, and that was against Wolves. So, but yeah, going behind, it was really a gift. I don't know what Gabriel was doing. His first touch was poor.
He has those moments. Though,
yeah,
Gabriel.
He does. But the
I
thing
think
is,
too often.
The reason I'm not too critical about Gabriel is I actually honestly think he's an excellent defender. Like, he is in a 1v1 and all of his duels. Like, the week before, we played against Bournemouth, and I know Bournemouth aren't a good team, but they have a physical striker, like Mitrovic. Kiefer Moore's a physical striker, and he won all of his duels against him. Like, he snuffed him out. So he'll have those games where, like, and for most of last season as well, he didn't have his Bozo moment sometimes.
Bruv, 10 minutes ago, you said Kiefer Moore was not even half of a football player.
But he's a physical player, and that's the thing. So I'm just saying, like, in terms of Gabriel, what he's dominant in is his fit. He 1v1, I back him against a lot of strikers because he's that good.
It was to just give credit to Mitrovic, though. The pressure was good. Yeah. And I actually thought the finish was good.
It was good.
Yeah,
showed composure.
But for me, star of the show is Odegaard, man. Like, that guy
he's
is
in
just,
really good form at the moment.
He scored two goals last week, scored again this week.
And he was the catalyst, to be honest.
He was the catalyst, honestly. Like, and there was one chance that he made for Nketiah where he chipped it. If Nketiah had scored that, I think that would have been the best assist of all time.
Nketiah just like, he didn't know what to do.
The
ball
just
was so good, he didn't know what to do.
It was a good block from Adebayo, but he took a little bit too long.
Yeah, no, because he controlled it, and I thought, just smash it now. And
exactly,
he was just like, I don't know.
Ian Wright said on Match of the Day that he should have just headed it, or he could have headed it across to Jesus, who was free. But
the only thing I would say is that this was the first time, like you said, especially in the first half, we were a bit sloppy in the final third.
Yeah.
And I think it was very evident that without two players who didn't play, so number five and Zinchenko didn't play, and we just didn't look in complete fluidity as we usually do.
Elneny just does not want to progress the play. It's just he
plays it safe a lot.
He's so safe. And the thing is, he's not like he's not offensively bad. Like, for example, if Cedric was on the pitch, I'd actually be offended. Like, I'd actually go on Twitter and do a toxic thread about Cedric because he's offensively bad, isn't it? Whereas Elneny, he's not that at all. He's just super safe. And if you're the central midfielder and you're meant to be the one who's progressing play, especially in the 4-3-3 that we play, he just keeps giving it back to the centre-backs. So we end up like, you know, we look like we're going to progress it up, the centre-backs go high up, and then you just kill the momentum
Saliba
by going back.
Saliba plays more risky balls than him.
Exactly, yeah. So and the thing is, with Zinchenko, because where I was sitting, a lot of the people around me were criticising Tierney because Tierney doesn't do the job
people
that Zinchenko does.
Can I also say that Tierney's coming back from a surgery. He got injured at the end of last season. He still needs the game time. So people are just overreacting
as
on
Arsenal
this
fans. Yeah, I think a lot of people are allergic to having more than one good player in a position. And so, like, if we have a good player, and then they'll start saying stuff like, do we need to move past this person? Or like, we can't have two good players? Like,
for real.
But the thing is, with Tierney, I think the difference between Zinchenko and Tierney is Zinchenko is naturally a midfielder, so he does that inside left role that we play.
Perfect.
But Martinelli, it's evident that every time Tierney plays, he's at his best when he's playing with Smith Rowe. Because Smith Rowe is naturally a midfielder, so he'll cut in. And Tierney is a Robertson type. Like, he's chalk on his boots, get to the byline, cross it in. That's what he wants to do. Proper British.
And he loves to defend
British
fullback.
Well. And he likes to, and he's good 1v1 as well. Yeah. Whereas when it comes to Martinelli, he stays high and wide. So there's no opportunity for him to overlap as well. And Martinelli's natural instinct, like I said, is to go to the byline.
Yeah.
So he's just taken it. So there's no opportunity for Tierney to do what he does
so
best.
So much positivity.
But I do think there is room for progress there. I feel like Tierney was tried out in that role, and I think he can only get better at it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he is coming back from an injury.
And he's a good player, man. That's
people
thing,
tend
man.
To forget, like, he's just coming back from an injury. It takes time for you to get
so surely,
fitness.
Though, you're getting a midfielder now, right?
We have to. It's not even a joke. Like, we've lost, like, what? Obviously, we had injuries at the weekend. The fact that we needed one already... because I don't think Elneny and Lokonga long term are the answer, and then
I think Lokonga is better as an eight as well.
Exactly, we need a six anyway. And Elneny, the thing is, we kind of he kind of worked his way back into a new deal at the end of the season, but we kind of put ourselves in a position where like we could have easily upgraded that.
Yeah, you're right.
But we gave him a new deal, so it kind of hamstrung.
I feel like, you know, and then
he's injured now as well.
I feel like the elephant in the room, number five, will be missing for a lot longer than just a few weeks. I guess we'll probably speak about it
when it happens, isn't it? But we don't know. At any point, that could change the situation. But the one I want to give credit to is the one that gets the most criticism around me, and where I was sitting in on a Saturday. Even now, when he's been playing fantastic, yeah, Xhaka, he just gets criticism, and I think it's just natural. Like, people just do not like
him. But you always have scapegoats in your teams. There's always
But I can't understand it. He's been, honestly, he's actually been one of our best players this season, along with, like, obviously the players who've been Saliba and Jesus, who have been, like, standout good. But he's been really, and for most of 2022, Xhaka's been one of our best players. Like, he's been very consistent in both sides of the game. He actually, every time he gets the ball, he's progressing it, and he's been the most progressive passer we've had in the team. So I give him credit, and also Ben White as well. I feel like I was very harsh on him beginning of last season, especially after Brentford. I told him, I called him pansy, I called him Love Island.
You tore him apart. Yeah.
But he's actually, and the thing is, he got signed, basically, people were saying, like, he's a top level in terms of playing out of the back, on the ball kind of defender. But I think
he's actually a very good defender.
He's a much better defender than people give him credit to. And he's not like an incredible playing out of the back, like someone who's, I don't know, for example, Hummels or David Luiz, guys who are like generational level playing out of the back. Ben White isn't even that level. He's not that good in terms of playing out of the back. David Luiz is one of the best in terms of playing out of the back. He's just a bozo.
Generational.
Yeah, of course, man. In terms of how many defenders have you seen playing out of the back as well as David Luiz and Hummels that level, or Ramos?
But 100%.
Well, I guess so. Yeah, that's the caliber you're talking about in terms of playing out of the back. But yeah, he was fantastic again at the weekend. There was this hilarious moment, by the way, in the game where what's his name, Cabano, where he ran halfway the
left. Oh, missed the ball.
That was the funniest part. Yeah. I thought it was like the comedy store.
That was beautiful.
Like, pure fresh air kick, man. He actually nearly dislocated his hip, bro. That was
But I wanted to just very quickly go back because I think we've got, is it 2 days left at the window, right? As we record right now, Tuesday. Yeah. Who other than Tielemans, because that's a very easy answer. What type of player? Because you're both saying you're desperate for a centre mid.
We're gonna need six.
We need a six.
Who would that be? The one
that's piqued my interest the most today was apparently we've inquired for Paredes, but Paredes is pretty much on the way to Juve. So we'll see. Apparently PSG prefer for him to come to us than Juve. Don't know why. Yeah,
because they're not. You're an English club.
We're not in the Champions League, innit? So I guess so.
It's only a loan.
Oh, it's just a loan.
For Juve, it's permanent. But for us, it's a loan.
Also, would you be satisfied if the window closes? You don't get a midfielder. No. Would you be happy with your window?
No. October's looming, and I could see.
We can't every single season say we're two players short. Let's see in January. Like, we're just gonna run out of the season every year. Like, and I'd for once just complete the squad. Like, we need two more players. We need a winger. We need a centre mid.
But I was saying to Mark, the thing that I like.
I want to make a point actually.
The thing I like is that we're not just gonna sign anyone. They are gonna sign a player who fits the profile of the squad.
Yeah.
So I do like that we're not, like, for example, Wenger signed Elneny, like, on a desperate one, whereas we're not going to do that now.
We're not going to go out and sign a Pablo Mari, are we?
So. Exactly. So I do appreciate that. But then, as Mark...
There are options out there, man. There's loads of players. There's Seko Fofana from Lons. That guy, he can easily play.
I was literally talking.
Sorry.
No, go on then. So Fofana,
go on, finish, man.
No, it's fine. Fofana.
Here we go.
I was literally talking, bro.
Yeah, I thought your point was finished. Sorry, I think I have this complex where, like, I wait for my point to come. Okay. But yeah, I think we need, like Junior was saying, we need another midfielder. We need another starting midfielder, I feel. We're going to need it. Paredes will be perfect for me, even if it's a loan. Then there's other options as well. Like, people are saying there's this guy who's available on a free called Grealish, who plays for Hoffenheim. He just left Hoffenheim. He's a free agent.
German, Grealish.
I think he's Austrian. But Austrian, we need options. Tielemans is obviously the one that people are talking about.
You need... I'm going to be honest with you, not a mark of him as a player, but we're four games into the season and Saka looks exhausted.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. He's played 47 games. He's played the last 47 games, man, and he's 21 years old. He plays pretty much all the time.
You don't want another Jaguzia situation. That's what I worry about. Yeah.
And I don't think we're going to get Tielemans because Leicester want 40 million.
I only mentioned his name because he was linked with you so strongly throughout the summer.
I've got one more question. So you've got, is it Villa tomorrow or tonight?
And then United.
The United game, how are you feeling about that? Because I reckon you'll beat Villa. I mean, you fancy yourselves against Villa, right? Yeah. Man United.
The issue is now we've got injuries in key positions. So I don't know really, to be honest. We never really go there and do well, apart from what, a couple of years ago, I think 1-1-0. But like really, we haven't got a good record there in the last 10 years.
So how would you feel if you lost that game?
I'd be obviously disappointed because it's Man United. I'd be very disappointed because I hate Man United and I want us to beat them. I have more confidence than I did last year because we've got a better team.
I think
now.
You should be confident, yeah.
But honestly, I wouldn't be. I want to get out of there without having lost.
I think that should be the aim.
That should be the aim, innit? At least get a point in it and obviously stay in the title race, you know, because obviously it's between us and Man City this year. So sorry, Brighton have got a shout in there as well, innit? So just us three, innit? Just quickly, after we scored the winning goal, yeah. Imagine, so like I'm in the upper tier. I'm literally 5 rows from the top of the stadium. I'm closer to the clouds to the ground, yeah. So imagine, yeah. This guy behind me, and for the whole like last 10 minutes, yeah, he's just got his arm on my shoulder. Like every time we have a chance, in anticipation, he's put his arms on my shoulder from behind me, and I'm just looking around like, who's touching me? And then this guy, and then when we scored, I swear to God, he tried to kill me. So he jumped from his seat. So they're flipped down seats, isn't it? So if you're standing, the seats are up.
Yeah.
He jumped onto my seat from behind me. So imagine the seat goes into the back of my knees and my knees buckled. I swear to you, if I didn't have gymnast level balance, yeah, I'd have been on the pitch.
I want to put that to the test one day.
I would have been on the pitch.
That gymnast level balance.
I would have been where Leno was, bro. He would have killed me. Like, and I would have taken out everyone on the way down.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, just go show like
so good vibes at Arsenal then.
Yeah. Well, not when I'm about to die though.
Even the tequila song.
That's what I do in my head in though. It just goes on forever.
I love it.
It loves
I'm
it.
Here for it.
Saliba! Every 5 minutes.
And the thing is, like, after the game ended, usually, like, you see loads of people just trying to get out as soon as possible. Bro, that wasn't
not
happening.
Not me, I left before the end.
That wasn't happening. In my section, people were just staying around to sing the Saliba song.
Yeah. Junior and all his mates, Steve and Dave and Barry, all these good lads in it. Yeah. Hey, Junior, get over here, mate.
I can't take you guys playing good football, winning games.
At the beginning of the game, they're like, Junior, get over here, you're going to get a mucker.
Painful, please.
That, none of that ever happened.
Junior's eating a pie with his mate Steve.
I don't eat pies, so none of that happened. Are you missing? Because you're a bit,
you're a bit defensive about it. But go on.
No, you're the one who got...
Mark, are you scared about? Are you scared of us?
What?
Sorry,
am I scared of
Arsenal? Obviously, you're scared of me. I'm about you. But
yeah,
still.
I'm mad scared.
Scared of Arsenal.
Am I scared of?
We've got a super team in it.
Best. Super scared.
Man. I think maybe threatened would be the better word.
Okay.
Not threatened.
And I tell you what, I will answer that. Ask me that again, and I'm not even saying this as like to be clever. Mm-hmm. I'm genuine. Ask me that after 12 or 15 games, and I'll give you a serious answer.
Okay.
I don't think you can judge. I really don't think you can judge. Like, I was quite hasty. Even me last week, I was quite hasty when I said, in terms of like any title race, we're out of that. That was just a very cloudy mind, poor start to the season. But actually, I've reflecting on that.
Were you on drugs? Cloudy mind.
Well, you never heard of that phrase, no?
Yeah, it means you're on drugs.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. You can't just make up stuff.
I don't.
I can help you through your rehab. It's
crazy.
Wow.
But like I was saying, but then I come to realise actually last week we were 3 games in, now we're 4 games in. Can't really judge anything until 10-12 games.
Man City, let's be honest. He ain't caring about Arsenal.
Did Tottenham threaten you?
Why? Everyone's behind me. Why do I care about anyone?
The only people that threaten me is me. I am threatened by Arsenal. I am. I think you're playing good football.
The only person who's going to stop me from winning is me.
Can you let her finish?
I think you're playing good football. I think you've brought in some really good players in Jesus, Zinchenko. I think their experience and their... I actually think their leaders in that squad that you've needed have given your club, your fan base, a massive boost. And I think now in stadiums, the fact that you've got that atmosphere, that positivity, that can only help the players as well. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, the football is, as a Tottenham fan, it's painful to watch because I enjoy watching Arsenal. I'm not going to lie. Like the quick passing, the tiki-taka.
You were on more crud last week, bro.
Yeah.
It's good to watch.
Do you know, at 1-0 down, I was sitting there and my whole life flashed before my eyes. Because I was sitting there going, I'm going to have to go on that podcast after doing all of that last week.
It's everything called Rallable.
Yeah, and then have to sit there and then hearing Tanya go, but what about Fulham though? And then luckily, I got bailed out by Gabrielle at the end there. But
yeah, the bloody bugger. You had to go. Oh.
Love it.
But
love
it's four games.
We got Rams though, made some big saves as well.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Man City. Man City for the second week, two goals down.
Oh, Palace, man.
And
what's going on?
Have come back, but this time they won it, obviously.
And yet, look, let's talk about Man City, because I don't think they've started well, but they're winning games, aren't they?
I think they started a bit better than Tottenham.
No, but like,
they are the top scorers in the league, you know.
No, no, but they've been turning around.
Be careful, yeah. Be careful when you speak. Go and check your facts. I know we're on the. Yeah, I know we're on the same goal difference as I think you and City plus eight.
Yeah,
are you
yeah.
on plus eight?
Plus eight. Yeah.
Yeah, we're on. So I don't know who scored the most, though. But
so you think they've had a great start then?
I don't think they have a great start.
They've definitely started well.
They haven't played as haram as the Conte has.
Listen. I'm not comparing it to us. I'm just saying genuinely. I don't think they've been at their best.
Which is scary. Winning. No. But there's a difference. They're scoring a lot of goals. And they're playing well.
But let's just
clarify very quickly. City are never at their best start of the season.
Yeah, it's true.
Fact. They're never at their best. They always come in strong. So even this is worrying to see, because they're playing good football. The only thing that they're kind of lacking or is different to their usual game is they're conceding way more goals than they usually would.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, they're conceding a lot of goals. But anyway.
But I mean, they'd just sign another centre-back, so...
Give us some. We need a centre back.
I don't think you're in for a centre back.
We're not. We're keeping Danganga now. Anyway.
I do think that there was a couple of questionable ones in this game, though. Very questionable ones.
Oh, yeah.
The disallowed goal.
We'll get into that. The disallowed goal. And the Haaland boot to the head as well. I thought were both kind of... They were both interesting decisions.
No, the goal was definitely a goal.
The goal, and this was 2-0 Palace.
There's no logical reason why.
That's crazy.
Because it's not fair that Edison made a mistake.
No, the reason why they say that is because Mateta's made the movement before Edison's released the ball, and goalkeepers are typically protected when they are releasing the ball from those kinds of situations.
I think that's bollocks, though. Because I think... That's not. It's still like the ball is in play. Essentially,
the ball was in play.
It's
yeah.
not. It's not a dead ball. It's not like it was a set piece or anything, or a goal kick or anything like that. It was a dead. It was an in play moment. So I think it was just nonsense. I think it was the referee kind of panicked again in that situation because you know Edison would have complained in it. So.
And the Haaland one, I'm not one to be out here calling for reds, but it was so, very very interesting.
That
ref didn't even call. Right, yeah. Interesting
banned,
that because obviously he goes on to then score the hat trick, and City are it's just inevitable, really, isn't it? Where they're 2-0 down and you kind of think this game's not done.
Yeah,
they're the only team in the world
though,
where I can,
so
exactly what happened, and they set up exactly how they set up against us in such a frustrating way where they went five at the back, exactly the same as against us. But it looks like that's their game plan now for the bigger teams because they went four. I can't remember who they played the week before. But it was four at the back.
Newcastle,
four at the back.
Oh, you mean Man City or Palace?
Palace.
Oh, Palace with Villa, 3-1. They beat them 3-1.
That was it, yeah. And they went four at the back for that one. But the game before, they were five at the back against us. After, five at the back against City. So they set up in a way where, when they went 2-0 up, I kind of sat back and thought,
I was gassed.
The way Palace has set up.
It could be long for Man City. And plus, they are Man City's bogey team, innit?
Yeah.
But
it is, sometimes, I think Tanya said it, in the group against Newcastle, they're just inevitable, innit?
No, they are. And I just think they could be 3-0 down and they'll come back, Man City. It's just in their DNA.
And although people are talking about how, he hasn't adapted yet to the league, but...
Top scorer in the league, mate.
Bro, just... If you just see,
people are still...
If you get a chance in the box, you can't give him an easy chance
he's
in the box.
He's got, 6-4?
6 goals, yeah.
He's a ridiculous finisher. His link-up play, technical ability, you might put that into question. He's not getting involved in play. Just don't give him a chance
this
in the box.
This league is made for someone like him. When he makes especially the third goal, that is textbook Haaland. If you give him that space and he runs clear, you're not going to stop him. There's no way you're going to stop him.
So I got. Do you lot think? And now you have to consider his injury record. I don't think he will stay fit for the duration of the season. Don't wish an injury on anyone, but just history tells us he's sure not going to stay
now.
Fit.
Sure you don't.
No, in a serious one, but history gosh, tells us. It. Damn, man, Haaland's out for 2 months. No, history tells us that he will get injured at some point, mm-hmm. right? But do you think Salah's league record for goals is in jeopardy?
What?
32?
Oh, what, in over a season? Nah, I think that's just too much.
I don't think this season. I think he still has some adapting to do. And plus, like, I know we won't have it this season because of the World Cup, but that Christmas period where, like, it's unreal. And, like, if you are injury prone, those are the types of periods where you're more likely to pick up injuries. I think in the future, once he's adapted and you can see, like, the differences in his game, then maybe. But I think for now, I think he'll be in the 20s. High 20s. I just don't.
Yeah, I say no, but like,
bro, he's got six in four.
Haaland, he's honestly like, he's actually such a freak. Like, sometimes I don't think he's human. So he's like, he can be that freak. Type of guy, yeah, who can score like 5 goals in a game.
I just don't think he'll be this year. I definitely see it coming. Like, yeah, I'll see him in the 30s, but maybe not this season.
Yeah, just the way he looks. He just looks like someone who
he was made in a lab,
isn't
it?
Like,
he can
actually just score goals in his sleep. Like, he can score 5 goals. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets 5 goals in one game, 3 the next game, and then 2 in like that kind of run he'll go on. And then he seemed like a record breaker in the way he plays, isn't it? And you saw what his goal record was for Dortmund, and it was ridiculous.
And even Salzburg.
So. I know, yeah. But I guess, like, you know, playing in the Bundesliga. So
are we going to talk about Chelsea next? Because the news...
Yeah. Tanya.
Go on, why don't you read it out for us?
So, Fabrizio Romano, exclusive. Chelsea are in advanced talks with RB Leipzig to sign... how do you pronounce his name?
Gvardiol.
Deal will be completed now, but with Gvardiol staying at RB Leipzig. He joined Chelsea in June 2023. Official proposal submitted today around €90 million.
That's flipping ridiculous.
So that's
man.
Two centre backs that's cost over
genuinely
€85 million.
It's worrying. I just worry about
in a week.
As a Spurs fan, that worries me, man. How can you compete with that?
Yeah, exactly.
How can you compete with that?
Hey, I'm gonna need the same energy for Man City.
Well, I was the one who sent it in the chat.
It's true. Hey, but where's your outrage that you have when Man City are
we just got onto the subject.
Yeah. Can I have more than 3 seconds? Is that cool?
Hey, give him some time.
With the amount of outrage you have for Man City, 1.5 seconds is minimum.
Maybe in the chat half the time, but listen, on air, I just talk football.
I'm jealous, though. I'm jealous with the signings they've made. I'm not going to lie. Huh? I am.
You're jealous of Chelsea?
Yeah, I think... They signed
2 centre-backs for over €85 million, yet they've got Havertz up front.
No, I get that, but I think they're good players.
I said a couple of weeks ago, yeah, if your academy has produced the likes of Guehi, Tomori, Chalabar, Ethan Ampadu and Colwill, you should not sign any centre-backs anymore. Like, you're too cool. Bring them all in, and that should be your 5 centre-backs that you work with this season. Because they're all decent and some of them are really good players and some of them have got the potential to be very good players as well. Why is he too cool? He gets a lot of credit, yeah, for the improvements of Chelsea. He won Champions League there, taken to a couple finals and all that stuff. But how many players has he brought through? Honestly, I can count one player that he's fully integrated in, and that's Chalabar.
But they were looking to loan him just 2 weeks ago. Get him out of there. Chelsea get a lot of credit for... the talent in their academy, but in terms of actually bringing talent through,
Lampard,
they're one of the worst. Lampard was forced into it.
Mm. Yeah,
but it's just like, obviously now
they're trying to sell Conor Gallagher as well.
That might not be such a bad thing.
But I agree with you. No, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't agree with you on that whole list. Like, Ampadu's not good enough. Yeah, nowhere near good enough.
He can be.
No. Not.
He went to Sheffield United and then stunk it out.
We're talking top level.
Oh, you
watched like,
Sheffield United.
did you?
Yeah.
You did that.
In the Premier League? You're telling me you didn't sneak it out?
Hey, I think he's a decent player, but go on.
No, but no, you're saying... anyway, regardless of that, what I agree with you on is the Tomori and Guehi, without a shadow of a doubt, should be in and around that Chelsea lineup right now. And the fact that they're not is just... I don't know if it's a poor forward planning, lack of trust, and I don't get why there's no... faith in those players. Like, similarly to how they had faith in Mason Mount and brought him through, You just don't see that with the, and then they're out here splashing 80, 90 mils on two different centre backs.
I don't think they're done. I think they are going to get more attacking players because that's Chelsea.
No, but
they
like,
need someone who can put the ball in the back of the net. I think
if you've got Havertz stinking it up, yeah? You've got Havertz stinking it up. It wasn't long ago you got rid of Tammy Abraham, man. And also,
yeah, Tammy, big him up.
What is Havertz doing? What is Havertz doing currently? That means we can. There's no chance Brozier can get a start. Like, what is the point? What's the point of having like a talent like that in your academy that you own? You don't have to sign Brozier.
Fofana, Silva, Koulibaly, and now
you've got Chalobah as well. They're probably going to sell, isn't it? So, you know?
Hey, I hate Chelsea so much, man. I'm jealous.
What did you guys think of their game against Leicester? Conor Gallagher, what a stupid red card!
I heard they might want to load. They want Palace want him back. I think Chelsea might consider it.
Everton also interested in Conor Gallagher.
I think Palace have moved past.
I don't think it's going to work out for him at Chelsea. I think he should leave, to be honest. I don't think we kind of asked
this question at the end of last season. And in the transfer window, in the summer, we asked as well if it was going to work. But honestly, I think for his sake, he should leave. I don't think Chelsea play in a style that suits him. And if you have an outside chance, a very outside chance of going to the World Cup, then you need to be single week.
He needs to be playing in a system that allows him to make those late runs into the box.
Mm-hmm.
Playing in a double pivot at Chelsea, you're kind of just I don't actually understand why they've kept him there if they're not looking to change up the system. Because he just doesn't fit into that 5-2-3 or whatever, however you want to look at it. And
it just looks like he's training for the marathon all the time. Just bare running.
Bare running. But listen, running's fine on the pitch. That's the bare minimum. But when you're in a system that just doesn't play to any of your strengths.
Yeah. Yeah, I think for him, he must be on the phone to Vieira like, please come get me, bro.
But the way Palace are playing right now, Eze's playing in his preferred position.
Yeah, agreed. But so I think Palace would still easily take him back. Exactly.
And plus, we just was talking about squad depth, like.
Yeah, I guess so. But I mean, like with I guess, but like he would probably be playing in the same position that he's playing at Chelsea.
I know Everton are desperate for him. Like Lampard's probably desperate for him.
Oh yeah, I guess so. But then honestly, you're an idiot if you go Everton. It just seems like a doomed.
Yeah.
Club.
It's like when Van der Beek chose to go Everton over Crystal Palace.
Yeah, he was a damn fool for doing that.
What did you guys think of... you have to give a little bit of credit to Chelsea because they were...
Yeah, down Sterling scored two goals.
Yeah, and
the first one was fantastic.
And they held out obviously as well. Like, oh my God, Leicester. What is going on, bro?
Shambles.
How did they like go from well-run club, good signings, clever in the recruitment market to... They have to sell everyone now because they haven't got money.
They just need a new changing manager for me. I honestly...
No, they need more than that.
They need
a miracle.
They need some flipping good defenders, man. Yeah. Obviously, the only good defender they have...
Is going now.
And
the worst thing is they've dragged this out.
Yeah, they've got
And
the
now
time.
They've got 2 days to sign a replacement. Who are you going to get? Like, honestly, who are they...
And the thing is... Everyone knows they've just... got 75 odd M's.
Yeah, it's long for that.
There's 2 days left. If you want my player,
I'm like Willy Bonny for 75.
They're signing. Everton are getting him, innit?
No, Nottingham Forest for a
million. Nottingham Forest, yeah. Bloody hell.
It's that signing number 42.
Did you hear what he did?
Every week, bruv.
Every day at this point.
He didn't turn up to Wolves.
Yeah, to the game.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Hey, you got to take a career in your own hands, man.
But
hey,
yeah,
hey Willie, you coming on the coach now?
I'll meet you there.
I'm busy.
Yeah, I'll meet you there.
Never turn up.
We play at the City Ground, yeah? Oh, okay, I'll be annoying him. You have fun.
I got some stuff to do in the morning. I'll see you there.
What? Oh, I thought Wolves were red. Sorry, man.
But yeah, so Sterling off the mark, got two goals. There was a lot of questions whether, you know, Sterling could re-find his form from Man City, whether he was... finished or whether he could score goals. I think the first finish at least shows that he's still
big deflection,
but he does that stuff.
Yeah,
like
I mean, the second goal was
yeah, that's textbook. Yeah,
so. Chelsea needed someone to stand up and be counted.
Yeah,
and yeah,
because Havertz is having a
Did you call him last week, Tanya? Shite Havertz, was it?
Yeah,
Shite Havertz. Yeah.
That's my new nickname for him.
He was,
But I'm telling you, what if they got Zaha and Aubameyang, who they've been linked with?
No, does that change?
The Aubameyang one, I wouldn't be upset about.
He's got 1 year left. He can't be worth 70 million.
I don't want Zaha to go.
The Zaha one would actually hurt me.
That would hurt.
He's an Arsenal fan as well.
I'm telling you, I reckon they'll get it done.
Mate, I think Zaha, bro, you're too far gone now, isn't it? Just stay at Palace now. Everyone wants you.
What do you mean you're too far gone?
You're too far gone, bro.
What does that mean?
Nah, it's a bit rude now for him to like. He stayed for Palace through all the serious interest that he had, and then now he wants to go Chelsea of all places as well.
No, who says he wants to go? But like, if
you
want to
move from South London to West London. I mean, yeah, I guess so. And as a normal human being, probably would have chosen that. But still, why would he go to Chelsea? That's just like, it really upsets me when people.
But you got to think, it gets to a point where it's like, at his age now, he probably sits back and think, what is he, 29 now, 28, 29. He probably sits back and think, you know what? By this point, 5 years ago, when I was 24, I thought I'd be in X place by 29.
And I've played Champions League.
And I've played Champions League, won trophies. And I think, I don't actually personally think he'll move this summer, but I think he understands he has to leave to make the most of his career. Not in a footballing sense, because we all know he's a wicked player, but Champions League football, aspirations, career-wise, play with better players.
The Aubameyang one, I don't really care. You're getting a
Aubameyang Chelsea don't create enough chances for someone like
Aubameyang. And Chelsea don't play in a style that's going to suit Aubameyang. It's just going to be like, for Aubameyang, we've said it multiple times, you need to create lots and lots and lots of chances for him to score at least one. And Chelsea don't
but
do that.
But would you say Chelsea... So they don't create chances. I think it's their conversion is the issue, not actually.
Hey, Chelsea's chances come from when the wing backs get into the box. That's it.
Listen, I'm not buying into this. Chelsea
are better off getting someone like Giroud.
Underrated Chelsea. I'm not underrating Chelsea. I think I'm just going by what I'm seeing.
I think they'll get better, and the thing with Chelsea is they're not great right now, but you know they're going to make the signings. You know they will.
They always do. Listen, they always do.
You're talking about Aubameyang.
Hey, no one's...
Listen,
this Aubameyang thing is done, you know.
Tuchel's worked with him before. It's so?
Yeah, but he didn't work with a almost 34-year-old Aubameyang. He worked with an Aubameyang in his prime.
Yeah, and look at Aubameyang's hairline now.
They've got to get someone.
Yeah, it's a horrible trend.
And look, guy's a goal scorer.
He was a goal scorer.
I mean, he scored quite a few for Barcelona
in a short amount of time.
But, I mean, I think... the thing is, he's better than Havertz.
You're talking about La Liga. Let's talk about when he was in the Prem. His last season.
Hey, bro, he's
gone. Tanya, you could,
No, I'm just having an argument with Spurs fans, that's all. Sorry.
It's not like you're on like a podcast that you do.
I'm listening. I'm multitasking.
Address them now.
You're punching the tape.
I'm just annoyed. Yeah. Seeing clubs show ambition. Pay up bigger money, and we act like we're some relegation for the team. Oh, but we don't have the money.
Tanya,
we've
signed 3 players this summer. 2 of them are under 20 years old.
No, but you've shown that you make statement signings, though, right? You've paid the big money for Nunes.
Barked out 50 M's from Romero just today.
That's true.
But it's not enough. How many times can we do it?
Hold on.
It's not enough.
Do you know what's the most offensive thing about what's happening now? I thought she was arguing people in her group chat. She's arguing people on Twitter. I just checked her Twitter. She's tweeting while we're podcasting. 8 minutes ago, she's quote tweeting saying, "We have no ambition, mate.
We don't.
Focus on the podcast.
We don't have ambition.
Just let her do her thing.
Nah, Tans, you do your thing. We got 15, 20 minutes to rattle through.
Okay. Next up, Southampton versus Man United. And to be honest, I feel like...
Man United was so dog shit, by the way. Sorry.
Right, you are actually rattled, isn't it?
I'm rattled. No, they didn't...
I can hear it in your face.
It's off the Twitter. On Southampton, how many of their players do you think were at Carnival the next day? Because this Igbo and Shayo 11, bruv, it's just... that's actually racist because that means weed and alcohol. So, but... No, bruv.
It does.
All right, let me ask you.
These are the thoughts of Abdi.
Quick question for you guys, Does Southampton have more black players in their starting 11 than Wolves had more Portugal players? Which one do you think? Because I got the answer.
I'm going to go with Southampton.
Southampton, what are you saying? Southampton. Did Southampton more black players or Wolves have more Portuguese players in their starting 11?
So what, just from this weekend this gone, weekend, I think Wolves have had 7 Portuguese. So yeah, Southampton.
Yeah, good. Yeah, yeah, good stuff. Good. Can you name all the 8 black players at Southampton in their starting 11?
No, I'm gonna. I'll tell you why. Because a couple of them are very new, signed from academies. Yeah. The centre back, the centre mid signed from City's academy.
Lavia,
who actually impressed me a lot. Yeah, Lavia, I thought was great.
I'll go through it quickly.
Aribo, Bazunu,
Kyle Walker Peters, Salisu, Bella Kochap, Gineppo, Lavia.
Shea Adams
and Aribo. Joe Aribo. 8 people in there, starting 11. Decent, isn't it? Right. But that centre back, Bella Kochap, he's going to get a move quickly.
Yeah, he was good. He was
quality player. I like that. But Lavia, bruh. All I'm saying here is Guardiola, if you see that in your academy, yeah, and you don't want him, then you, bruh, I'm going to have to look at you sideways, isn't it? Because that seems like a Hitler thing, bruv. Because that guy is a baller.
He was actually balling out.
But Guardiola would rather do the Nicodinho Gundo, all of that stuff, yeah? But you don't want to play this guy who's actually balling out. I think
they got a buyback clause.
Yeah, I guarantee I don't get used in it.
Oh, you don't know?
No.
But can we just talk about Man United?
Man United.
So I was like, Guardiola's got an All Lives Matter 11.
Where's the...
That's outrageous, man.
Where's the Glazers out posters now? Where are they?
Well, I don't know. Good Anthony just
where
signed.
Are they?
Oh,
Man United fans.
We got a question from
Kojo.
Not Kojo. Okay.
Sorry, one of our followers. I'm rattled.
We can tell.
Kojo's about to send you a tweet tomorrow, though.
No, they just.
Tanya, does, they tell you the carbs are still there.
Yeah, yeah. one of our listeners was asking, what do we think about the Anthony signing?
I hope it flops. Genuinely, I hope he's shit.
We all do.
Well, of course
we
do.
Because, yet again, I just don't think they're learning. They're spending loads of big money on a player. In my opinion, I don't know too much about him. I hear he's decent. But
I thought you wanted him to flop because you want Man United to flop just as a team.
No, yeah.
I was proper nodding along.
Lesson,
there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A moral lesson. Yeah. Hopefully next time you won't spend that much money.
I just irritate me.
I just feel like when it comes to Man United, yeah, it's you guys were actually right what you were saying last week when it came to am I doing it the right way, by the way?
Yes.
Okay, go on. You guys were right when it came to you're talking about. Obviously, we had a big argument in the group chat, which people don't know. I was basically saying, like, I don't think it really matters that much about what the fans' opinion is when it comes to transfers. But you guys were saying that the fans are quick to shut their mouths about this whole Glazers out stuff because they get all these shiny new toys. Mm. But it's actually, you guys were actually right because you see now, Casemiro's here. You've got Hezbollah. You've got... Anthony, bruv. You know, yeah, I call him Sam Mara, isn't it, bruv? Because every time he gets the ball, I feel like in his mind, he just thinks, Morris. Let me try and emulate Morris. Because all I see here is Higgy Haga moves, the spin. Every single comp of him, it doesn't look impressive. And he's 21 years old, 22?
Yeah, he's really young.
You say he doesn't look impressive.
I think he's decent. I think he's a good player.
I was going to say as a footballer, I think they've signed a good player.
Yeah.
But numbers wise, in particular, he needs to drastically improve.
Well, Bergwijn looked good in that league.
Exactly, isn't it?
He's going to be another.
Dusan Tadic got 32 goals.
He's actually played for Brazil.
These are all fair points, though.
No, like, but it's true. Bergwijn's like a baller.
He's like 50% Rafinha. Rafinha's a bad player.
I think there's a player in there. I'll be real.
Oh yeah, Man United fans think he's top.
No, I'm not saying he's gonna come in and light it up already. He might do, might not. But I do think there's a player in there. Whether it's the type of profile that Man United need, I don't think so. I don't think he's the type of player that Man United fans necessarily want. I think he's the type of player that they expected Sancho to be, and he's not that. Mm. I can tell you that for facts right now. But I don't see how it makes them better now. The Casemiro one I can, and I think that's a fantastic signing. But the Anthony one, I see it can make them better in maybe next season after. Yeah. I don't think it makes them better
thing,
now.
The thing is with Man United, yeah, is for years and years and years, what have Man United fans been complaining about in terms of the players they want in the positions? Fullbacks. They want a good left back. How many years have they said we need a DM? How many years have they said we need a right winger? You've got all of them now. Yeah. You've got Malacia, you who's a good now. Player. You've got Casemiro. I don't want to hear Pim now.
They want Dest now.
They want, yeah, exactly. They want another right back. You've got Hasbulla there. You've got all of...
So, Martinez.
No, they brought in Warwick Davis because they don't have to deal with Maguire anymore. They don't want to have to deal with Maguire anymore, and they're not right now. So Man United, the expectations are different. This super team now you've got now with all these top players and you've overspent. Obviously, everyone's spending loads of money, so I'm not really judging the level of expectation based on how much they've spent. But you've got all of the players, all of the positions you wanted for how many years now? I'm not. You can't finish sixth, Femo. You can't finish fifth. You can't say it's Ten Hag's first season.
Yeah, and it can't the expectations be the are different. Either.
You need okay. And even just scraping fourth isn't enough now because you've outspent everyone. And you've got what you wanted now. You've got all these top players in these top positions as well. So we'll see what happens.
Fans
with like,
be expecting to they, finish fourth.
All I'm saying is if they don't win the league, then it's a massive favour.
I think so. You laugh, but I actually kind of agree because you're spending... You will have spent, they can't win the league. No.
Well, obviously, we don't expect
that. I don't think they'll win the league, but you're spending ridiculous amounts of money every single summer. This summer, you've backed the manager incredibly and they were crying about, we haven't signed any top players. Now you're signing... Casemiro, you've signed Anthony, you've signed Eriksen, Malacia. You've got all these players. You've filled the positions that were problematic positions for you before.
No excuse.
There is no excuse. They should be challenging. If they're not challenging, it's a massive failure.
Someone needs to slap his bald head.
Ten Hag needs to be held accountable for this.
So is there a slight concern that they might turn it around and play well?
Well, if Bruno keeps starting games and doing 68% possession pass completion... I know he scored the winner at the weekend, but you know
Casemiro, I can't like that's the one I'm like, oof, that's a good signing.
Well, if they keep starting McTominay instead of him, then yeah. But it's annoying that they've got all of their that they'll have pretty much the strongest 11 they have when they play us at the weekend.
I mean, I said that when Mark asked me at the start. A couple of weeks ago, goes, oh, you must be looking for a tail. I was like, nope.
That will be, honestly, I'm not even just saying this, but that'll be a good marker to see actually not just where United are at, but where Arsenal are at as well. Be very interesting. But you got to give not credit because, they beat us and that was unexpected. They were then got expected to go and beat Southampton, let's be honest. But after the first two losses from two games, people expected them to kind of keep going and losing or pick up a couple of draws here and there. And in that aspect, they've turned it around, but they need to now push forward.
Yeah, the thing is now as well, like when you've lost two games in a row, those next two are really important as well. You have to break the cycle. Yeah. So they have done that and they've done what they needed to do as well, like get back on track. Now they look in a healthier position. It was doom and gloom after
that. Let's not gloss over the fact that it was a shaky performance against
it wasn't convincing at all.
But yeah, I guess it was pretty similar to the Tottenham situation as well. Like you don't play well, you get a win. Mm.
Yeah, but it's
good finish from Bruno, like really good.
Good.
You went in there.
I'm a starter, innit? So I'm sorry.
All right, let's
I'm like the podcast Gareth Gates.
You're out of order.
All right, okay, let's move on. We've got loads of games still. We're just gonna just talk about them briefly. Brentford, late equaliser against Everton. Gordon scored again or for the first time.
Oh, yeah, don't forget Chelsea will get him still. I hear they're not giving up on that.
60 M's, but...
I reckon that one's dead in the water now.
I think
now.
So too.
It's actually ridiculous how many players they're linked with, man. You can sign everyone.
Brighton continued their good start to the season with a 1-0 win against
that
Leeds.
That is a coach.
That is a coach. One goal conceded in four games. Yep. Three clean sheets.
Yep. And every year they're losing. They sold their two best players this time.
And Pascal Gross has stepped up. That pass as well. He gave a pass to...
Oh, when Solly March went through. Yeah. Oh, what a first time.
That was ridiculous.
Can we just deep the players that we're talking about? Solly March.
Pascal Gross. Like, yeah.
I'm not like downplaying their quality, but what they're doing with that, what's going on with that squad? Yeah.
It's
unbelievable.
Every single year, like they're losing key players, key positions, and then they just keep that is the proper recruitment. Whoever that guy is, and he's getting.
Because we used to talk about Southampton and Leicester, isn't it? Brighton seemed to be doing it.
I honestly, for me now's the time for Potter to get that next big job. Because I want to see what he's like with a budget and better players.
I want to see what he's like with a flipping striker, man.
And that too.
Get a striker.
And that too.
Yeah,
respect Danny Welbeck.
Yeah, man. My boy Danny Welbeck.
They are unbelievable. I love Brighton, man. They're
but he's not
so
he's
good
like
to
he's done well this whole season. Hasn't scored a single goal. So he's not going to get a goal. He might go the whole year, play well, no zero goals.
We don't know.
Who do you think his next club would be? Potter.
Well, if we obviously we've got our manager now, innit? But I mean, if he ever left, that's my number one choice.
Like, yeah, same here.
I'm gonna be honest. I don't think he should do this. But if I'm Leicester and I sack Rodgers, I would try at least for
that
Potter.
Would be good. I think that
at the very least, you'd have to ask the question.
But yeah. Leicester are kind of in financial ruin, so I don't think that would be.
Of course, of course.
No,
but yeah,
I want him. You'd like, ask. If he's ever going to move, I want him to go to where his value is now. I don't want him to go to like Everton or Leicester.
It would have to be one of the top six clubs.
I don't know.
Oh, so you want to get rid of Conte and getting Potter?
I have to see.
You're thinking about it.
No, listen. Let's be honest, Conte's not going to be here forever.
Yeah,
I know that the minute he signed the contract, he could leave next season, you know.
Mm,
by the end of the season, he could leave.
Or England, man. Just hire Potter already, man.
Oh, yeah. He could get the England job.
I cannot imagine Potter at Spurs.
He's too good for England job.
His
though.
Rise is actually incredible, man. Like, wasn't he like a...
He was a...
Coach at Ostersen. Oh. Like that,
He used to lecture at a university of Hull, and then Ostersen's hired him to be... manager.
I don't know if I'm making this up here. Can someone please fact check this for me? Because I don't know where this has just come from, but it's just come in my brain. But there's a big football manager element to his rise, right?
It's exactly what I was thinking as well. No, there's someone got a job at a top club because they did really well at football manager.
No, so there's this guy who was really good at football manager, who's a Plymouth supporter, and he actually applied for a job. And he gave recommendations of what he would do and why, and then he based it on football manager.
Interesting.
And he got.
But it sounds good though. Like if Potter got hired because he was really good at football manager.
No, not yet. Yeah, I hear that.
But he used to be a lecturer in Hull, and then Anyway, the next game. Let's talk about Aston Villa versus West Ham.
Oh, congrats, West Ham! Scored your first goal.
For now,
EVG.
Yeah, it's looking.
Last year, Tanya was saying Aston Villa going Champions League. So.
Oh, yeah, okay, man. Look, I got a bit excited because Gerrard's kind of a
all
of
them players they bought, all the Grealish money, you know, he signed all these.
Yeah,
players.
No, he's in big trouble. I was waiting for West Ham to come up. He's in big trouble. Him, Rodgers, and Lampard. I think any one of those three could be the next to go. Just waiting for this one. So on Sunday, West Ham will become or did become. The ninth club to reach 1,000 Premier League matches. This is pretty easy, but can you name the other eight?
Arsenal,
Chelsea, Spurs, United, Everton,
Liverpool.
Yeah, that's six.
Wait, how many is there?
City.
No. Come on, we're talking the big boys here, bro.
Did we say Chelsea?
Did we say Everton? Yeah.
You've missed two. So you got Arsenal, Liverpool, Newcastle. United, Newcastle is number seven. So you're missing one more. In fact, we're talking about them right now. Yeah.
Oh,
there you go. So now West Ham are now the ninth club to reach 1,000 Premier League matches.
Next up is probably City.
Another milestone for West Ham. They should make a little cup.
You lot can't talk about that.
Yeah, we can. We genuinely can.
Oh dear.
Make a little cup.
I can bully West Ham, innit? Let me bully them, innit? I can bully them.
All right. West Ham signed Lucas Paqueta.
That signing annoys me, man.
Why?
He actually annoys me as well.
Yeah, it annoys me as well.
West Ham are getting a player like that.
Yeah.
The fact that Lucas Paqueta and Bruno
Guimarães
are in the Premier League and not at Arsenal, it hurts me.
Wait.
It hurts my soul.
Lucas Paqueta doesn't suit your system.
Left wing back.
We can make him suit our system.
No, Conte don't like that.
Tanya, sometimes the players you're upset about and then never play for Tottenham, will they? Because you want creative players. Tottenham's creative players, Harry Kane, that's it.
No, but this myth that Conte doesn't have no creativity.
No. What
complaining about for the first 30 minutes of this podcast?
Your creativity comes from the fullbacks.
Yeah,
or
we don't
should.
Have any.
Well, Lucas Paqueta is not a left wing back.
Exactly, yeah. Flipping up, Perisic can be a midfielder and play wing back, yeah. But
anyway,
can't do
talk
it,
about
Paquette.
West Ham, the amazing signing.
It is an amazing signing.
No, I still think.
Fuming.
Didn't Scamacca start this game?
Yeah,
he got taken off. He didn't really look that good.
What I was saying to Mark is that I think it'll be interesting to see how Paqueta does, because obviously he went to Milan, didn't work out very well. Then he went to Lyon and it's been better. But it'd just be interesting to see how he adapts to the Premier League. That's it.
I hope he does shit.
No, we got a World Cup. I have to hope the first 6 months are amazing. And then
he's a really good player. He can play, and I would have wanted him to come for us because he can play the eight role. He can play wing. He can play 10.
He would have been good for us as well. But that's West Ham's first goal.
Yeah,
of the not of the season, but in the league.
Well done, West Ham.
Why is he not like trying to change? Why isn't Kone getting a look in at all? Yeah, like.
I was saying, for me personally, if I'm West Ham and you're playing kind of 4-2-3-1, the front four all day, every day, for me personally, is Cornet, Benrahma in the 10, Bowen on the right, and Scamacca up top.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't understand that either.
Where does Paqueta play when he plays 10? I'd probably swap him out for Benrahma.
Yeah, well, you could, you could probably get away with him in a pivot with Rice, you say to Rice, your job is to sit. Like, I don't want you kind of foraying forward. Leave that to
Paqueta.
This Suchek thing has to end.
Yeah, yeah. Suchek, he's a criminal. He's a criminal. He sent us all that first season. Yeah. He's actually a criminal. He's not good.
But that's a Moyes player, isn't it? He loves them kind of players. All right, Wolves played Newcastle and two really good goals in that. Neves and Saint-Maximin.
Yeah, same level above. Yeah. ASM's was a level above.
Boy.
The control on that volley, man.
Just quick though, yeah.
Here we go.
I wish Neves wasn't so expensive, man. That guy is. He is my number one choice for a centre midfielder.
He's still only 25. He's been around for a while.
He ain't going to be at Wolves next season. I'm predicting it.
Yeah, I don't think he will. His interview after the game was quite.
Wasn't he like.
It was interesting.
Saying bye to the fans at the end of last season.
Like, yeah, but that's what he said. He was like, he did his interview after the game. I actually wasn't expecting to be here still now.
No way did he say that.
Blah blah blah. I've got ambitions to play Champions League football. Okay, he didn't come out and say it as abrupt as that. Like, he got asked the questions, and when you get asked the questions, you can only answer them. But he's like,
these men are dead, bruv.
Yeah, they're second bottom,
1 point.
It's
been a bad start for them.
It was a bad start for them last season. They lost their first.
I don't know what Hwang was doing though for that. Mm. But yeah, like you said, Saint-Maximin. Guys are entertaining, man.
Oh, he's a baller as well, man.
It's a shame that he looked like he pulled his hammy.
Yeah.
All right, which brings us to Man of the Week. So Mark starts this week.
Lovely. I didn't actually big him up when we covered the Liverpool game. And I give him a bit of slander last week, but he was so good this weekend. And I know it was only Bournemouth, but regardless, it was good to have him back. 2 goals, 3 assists. Bobby Firmino.
Interesting. 3 assists.
2 goals, 3 assists, okay. 1 game. Can I just say he has matched your boy's output in one game.
Yeah, cool. That's fair. And we played Bournemouth this season as well, innit?
Why are you doing that conspiracy?
You ruined the whole good moment because I was giving him his props, you know.
I would appreciate some props.
No, fair. We played Bournemouth for all the season, so I can't even complain about that. But yeah, one's clear, obviously, one's in a different atmosphere and stratosphere than the other one, innit? But
all right, Tanya.
When Firmino gets into his bag, though, like he can really spaz on the team, innit? Sorry, go. I was just giving him his props.
No, but yeah, in short, Bobby Firmino, for me, deserves it this week.
I'm giving it to Haaland, man, with the hat trick. 6 goals in 4 games? He's on a madness. Got to give it to the star boy, Haaland.
Abdi?
I'll give it to my boy, Odegaard. Again, another top performance.
That was a good choice, yeah.
You said I was going to pick Odegaard.
I did.
I actually didn't think about it until now. But yeah, Odegaard, another top performance.
You're not being a good father, you know. You're not giving Saka any...
I'm not. This is man of the week. Like, you're giving it to players who had the best week.
he's man of my life. but yeah, man of the week is Odegaard for another top performance and a goal.
So I did tell Mark I was going to go for Gabriel for scoring the winner, but I'm going to change it up just because it's another Arsenal player. So I'm going to give it to Sterling.
I knew he was going to say Sterling.
Yeah,
for 2 goals.
That was my other one.
I tell you what, I'm going to be honest. Sorry.
That was it.
I'm going to be for 2 goals. I thought you said and.
Well, I was going to say it for winning in the game, but yeah.
I really think this could be the closest vote.
Yeah, genuinely.
We've had in a long time. I think that anyone could win that.
Okay,
but it's going to be Haaland though.
probably will be Haaland.
You
let's
need
be
to
real.
Talk Champions League draw and Europa League draw at some point.
We'll talk about that next week.
You had the perfect chance.
Sorry.
And on that note, we'll catch you on the next episode of We'll Talk About That Later.
Sports Social Podcast Network.